Making indie films in the borderland is hard enough. Getting your movie distributed and seen outside the region can be even harder. One local production has found its way to the masses via one of the largest streaming sites. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The 2017 crime thriller titled River is available now to view or rent, via Amazon Prime. And my guest today is River's producer and co-star, Mark Vasconcelos. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us by phone from your office in Las Cruces. You know, one of the purposes of this program is to profile local filmmakers and films, and I'm glad we could have you on today because I've never spoken with you before.
I'm glad to be here.
Great to make the introduction. A lot of films, feature films, are being made in the borderland, but few are getting this kind of distribution on such a big platform with Amazon. Before we get into how all that came to be, why don't you set us up the synopsis of the film, if you could describe what it's about.
Well, basically, River is about a local detective who has kind of lost all hope on finding his daughter. His daughter has gone missing. So he goes underground and looks for any kind of clue that will lead him to getting his daughter back safely. And unfortunately, he kind of falls off the deep end and goes into a downward spiral. So not only himself, but his friends and people that he work with are affected. And it's pretty dramatic, and it's kind of, we go after some social issues that are here in the border region, you know, about what happens along the border and people going from one end to the other end of the spectrum to survive or do what they have to do to survive and protect their family. So I think it's kind of a fun, entertaining, and interesting movie, and it definitely has some twists and turns and things that you wouldn't expect because you want certain things to happen, but they kind of end up happening the wrong way. So it's definitely an interesting movie.
Yeah, the protagonist is a bit of a rogue cop, falls in that genre, but not just the kidnapping of his daughter that he's trying to investigate and find her, but as you say, you've got a lot of other things woven in there that I think people in the region will appreciate. You know, it really sets it here on the border. We've got the border, you've got Juarez, some issues with cartels, jumps back and forth between Las Cruces and El Paso, a lot of great exteriors. There's even an aside with the Catholic Church and maybe some serial killing going on.
Yeah, we try to kind of mix it all up, and we had great locations because the borderlands are just spectacular to see on film, and there's a lot of great stories down here that go untold. There's a lot of history, so we're just, you know, this is really kind of our first passion project, and the scope of the movie is really large. It's not a small movie by any means. We had roughly 60 local actors and over 30-some-odd local locations. So it's a big movie that we did on a micro budget, and we had a lot of fun doing it, but we shot on weekends for over a year, and then it wow. took us at least a year to post-production.
It is a very ambitious, big story, as you say, one that we're not used to in the indie world down here because of the restraints, both economic and otherwise. But you really pulled in a lot of people from the El Paso, Las Cruces area. I know you've got crew and cast from both sides. Is everyone local that worked on this film?
Pretty much, yeah. We were going to go after a couple bigger name actors, but we just didn't have the money to pull it off. So everybody who worked on the film and in the film is pretty much local, which was great, you know, because there's a lot of undiscovered talent here in front of the camera and behind the camera. So it was a good chance to really get people out there doing some stuff, showing what they can do. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't have the budget to pay everybody, but we fed everybody. Some people right. got gas money. You know, we did whatever it took to get people to the locations on weekends and shoot what we could shoot.
Of those, we should definitely mention the director, Matthew Valdovinos, Andrew Gomez, who's the writer and the star of the film. You have a lot of, you yourself are not only the producer and did a lot of technical things on the crew, but you're a co-star in this film. Kind of an unlikely friendship. You play a drug dealer, I guess, that has a long history with this lead detective. It's a unique aspect to the storytelling here.
Yeah, it was kind of neat because it's kind of the yin and yang of a friendship that is on and off. and they both kind of grew up in the Catholic Church. One kind of went the wrong way, and one kind of went the other way, but their paths cross throughout their history, and then they end up helping each other trying to find this daughter of the detective.
And all the casting was local, you mentioned?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, a lot of good faces in this film.
Mm-hmm. Interesting characters, for sure.
So is when you're making a ambitious indie local film like this, is it really come down to the money as being the biggest challenge?
No, I would say, you know, just due to the lack of funds, your biggest challenge is pre-production, your planning. You know, so we spread things out over the weekends because people were working during the week.
Sure.
But we really planned out our locations, our shot lists, our actors, our wardrobe, our food. Everything was pre-planned out to a T so we could hit our locations, be super efficient when we shot, got people in and out, and had a lot of fun doing it at the same time.
So maybe there's a silver lining to having few resources.
Yeah, it really forces you to be a true independent filmmaker. And, you know, you talk to local vendors, local restaurants, and, you know, you give them a little advertising plug in the credits or in the scenes, and they're glad to donate a meal or whatever, or props or locations or whatever. So it's really a huge community effort when this kind of thing happens. And granted, it took us over a year to shoot all our footage and then another year to post-production it. But you know what? We had a lot of help from local businesses, local homeowners, and it was really kind of a passion project that came together and actually got distribution, which is rare sometimes.
One of the things that has impressed me over the last 15 years watching the evolution of local film is that, you know, 15 years ago, the lack of resources, you could really see it on the screen because it meant that you couldn't use the right equipment or there was bad sound. And the access we have now to equipment at a relatively low cost that can turn out a professional and polished looking image and sound and lighting is really phenomenal. And it has helped bridge, I think, that resource gap with major productions down to the micro budget. Were you able to find most of the tools you needed in the region? Did you have to bring in equipment from outside?
Oh, yes, definitely. Today's filmmaking is so prosumer-oriented. I mean, you can shoot a movie on your iPhone now because you have such great resolution. But, you know, there's other elements, like you said. You have sound, you have lighting. So that really pushes the filmmaker to know their art and deliver it properly because, you know, what's up on the screen is what the people see. They don't really care how you did it,
right,
or how it was achieved. And, you know, we shot River basically on a regular Canon DSLR, you know.
Wow.
So we didn't have the money to go rent a big camera, but we took our time, you know, doing interesting lighting, interesting camera moves, different angles and perspectives, and then in post-production we did some color tinting and things like that, and you add the sound effects and the music and it all kind of adds up. But when you deliver a movie for distribution, they're super strict on regulations and proper settings and proper resolution. So we had to make sure when we were shooting we were getting the best picture possible and then obviously the best sound possible. And then when you go into do post-production, you just kind of amp it up even more and just make sure that when you export the movie, you're exporting it properly at a super high resolution. Your files are huge, but the distributor wants that so they can meet certain rules and regulations when they put it out there to the world.
Obviously, one of the unique things also about this film is that it is out in the world. A lot of local productions get screened locally. Maybe they make it to a few film festivals, indie film festivals around the country. But by and large, broader audience, you know, never gets to see these films. And you're on Amazon Prime, which is one of the biggest streaming sites available. Were you thinking early on in pre-production about a strategy for distribution, or did this come about as the film was being finished?
And it kind of came about as the film was being finished because River isn't really a film festival film. It's pretty gritty and
right,
pretty dark. So, you know, and in film festivals, they want the happy drama, you know, very human interest stories. Not saying that this isn't human interest, but River definitely has a gritty and dark side to it. But when we premiered at the Plaza Film Festival and the Las Cruces Film Festival, we had a good response. And then, so instead of just talking to any distributor, we had offers, too, from like three different distribution companies. But I chose to wait and really do my homework and study what these companies were offering, how long they would control your movie, is it exclusive deal, is it not an exclusive deal, and where they would get it, and then obviously how much of your profit will they eat up. So it's really tricky, but as a filmmaker, you really have to do your due diligence on scoping out distribution. And the company I found is out of Hollywood, and their percentage was very nice. It's not big. They're not charging me promotional fees because they don't have to do a lot of promotion. They just hit the markets. They hit the digital platforms. And, you know, you help each other get it out there to drive people to the websites.
So there's an intermediate company that gets you to Amazon?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're a legitimate distribution company. And a lot of these distribution companies will just take movies, and it's a big numbers game for them, because what they do is they lock your movie into an exclusive deal for upwards of 10 years, and you're going to have to pay for promotional fees and distribution percentages and stuff like that. So that can eat away at all your profits as a filmmaker, and you don't want to do that. So the company that we're with, Indie Rights, is they only really have an exclusive deal with us for 3 years, and then we can renew it based on their performance. They take a smaller percentage, but they'll get it up on several different digital platforms like Amazon, Google. They'll get it up on iTunes. They'll get it up on Hulu. And then they'll go to pay-per-view cable. And then the movie will also be taken to Cannes Film Market in 2018, and sold to world markets there.
European so, rights and other,
exactly,
other things.
Exactly. So there's a lot of different ways you can do distribution now, but the thing is you want to find a company that you fit well with, you feel comfortable with, and you got to read all the fine print so they're not locking in your movie for 10 years of what they want to do with it as opposed to what you want to do with it.
A real success story. It's so great to hear start to finish how this has come about for you, and I congratulate you and the makers of River, and I want to thank you, Mark, for speaking with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, hit Amazon Prime, and you can find River 2017, the movie, up and running.
I've been discussing the 2017 Borderland crime thriller River, shot in and around Las Cruces and El Paso, with the film's producer and co-star, Mark Vasconcelos. River is a local independent production that has found a place on one of the largest streaming platforms, Amazon Prime, and can be viewed for free by Prime members or rented by regular Amazon users for $2.99. While the film doesn't carry an MPA rating, it would be rated R for violence and language and content. A trailer to the film can be found at Amazon.com also. A final program note, my own film series, The Film Salon, will present the 1949 adventure film Mighty Joe Young tonight at 7 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. An excellent film for the whole family. Tickets are just $3 and available online or at Alamo Drafthouse. On Film's engineer and editor is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.